Jacob Blickenstaff examines the merits of using popular television depictions of forensic science to engage students.
The explosion in popularity of forensic science in criminal justice programs is often attributed to television shows like CSI, Law & Order, and NCIS. Though many colleges have benefited from increased enrollment, the cultural impact of these police procedurals is not all benign. Some lawyers and prosecutors are frustrated by what is known as the CSI effect, when juries expect evidence in real trials to look more like what they see on TV. I wondered how good the science behind forensic science might be, and what these shows might offer science teachers. Now, there are several major categories of forensic science frequently shown in TV depictions of crime scene investigations. There's ballistics, which examines the marks on bullets or bullet fragments to determine what gun fired the bullet and where it came from. Tracing the trajectory of a bullet from a gun to its final location is essentially a physics problem, though a difficult one. Trace evidence includes examining the presence of fibers, chemicals, or other material that indicates where a person has been. Many items we come in contact with every day are made up of fibers that constantly break off and stick to us. By examining these fragments under a microscope, the color, type, and maker of the fabric may be determined and matched with items worn by a suspect. Impression analysis examines fingerprints, footprints, and tire tracks, and attempts to match latent impressions, those from the crime scene, to those of a suspect or his vehicle. Tire size, brand, and wear can sometimes be determined from latent impressions. Finally, forensic DNA analysis is used to determine relationships between people and the presence of a suspect based on material left at the scene. Everyone has a unique genetic code in his or her DNA, and that DNA sequence can be extracted from the nuclei of our cells. Just as we leave fiber evidence behind, we can easily leave cells behind that can be collected and the DNA sequenced. It's easy to find old episodes from the CSI franchise to watch in syndication, so I chose two to look at more closely. In the 2005 episode of CSI Miami, titled Identity, a young woman is found with facial puncture wounds and covered in slime that analysis shows to be the stomach acid of a snake. Apparently, the snake asphyxiated and swallowed the fully grown woman, then regurgitated her and slithered off. The officers speculate that it chose this victim because she was sunburned and radiating heat. While it is true that a number of snakes can sense heat, including some large pythons and boa constrictors, and pythons have been known to attack humans, there are no credible reports of adults being swallowed. I next watched an episode of the original CSI titled The Gone Dead Train, broadcast in 2009. Several unexplained deaths are eventually traced to deliberate infection with a rabies virus harvested from Mexican free-tail bats. While it is true that bats can carry rabies, and rabies is a very serious illness, I worry that this episode might contribute to unreasonable fear of bats. Now, a bat that is out during the day, is unable to fly, or appears to be sick in any way is likely to be rabid and should certainly be avoided, but healthy bats are no threat to people. They consume large quantities of insects every night, and regulating the insect population is certainly a service to humanity. In examining these two episodes and reading the synopses of many more online, I'm troubled by the demographics of the typical CSI criminal. It appears that the majority of criminals in CSI storylines are women, getting revenge for some old injustice. The two shows I watched included five perpetrators, four of whom were women. This is in stark contrast to the reality of serious crime in the United States, where 93% of state and federal prisoners are men. I'm not asking for fictional crime shows to become documentaries, but the writers of CSI seem to have a fairly low opinion of women. And it's probably no surprise to learn that TV does not accurately represent the real work of forensic scientists, but the troubled relationship between mainstream science and forensics might be unexpected. At the direction of Congress, the National Research Council investigated the scientific merit of a wide variety of forensic practices. Their 2009 report calls on the forensic science community to strengthen the certification and accreditation of programs in forensic science and to establish the scientific validity of all forensic science procedures. While DNA analysis is scientifically rigorous and the probability of errors is well known, other common practices like fingerprint analysis and tool mark comparison have never been subject to full scientific scrutiny. Fingerprint matching is a combination of computer and human interpretation, particularly when attempting to match latent prints, and studies have found that the results depend on contextual information given to the examiner. The NRC report also encourages the forensic science community to begin to report levels of uncertainty in analyses, the standard practice in all other sciences. Science teachers might consider using a forensic storyline to generate interest in a lab activity, like determining which pen wrote a note through paper chromatography. I would be cautious, however, about the science presented in actual episodes of these shows, as exaggeration is quite common. Finally, the NRC report on forensic science is a reminder of how important procedures and error analysis are to careful scientific work.
For more of Dr. Blickenstaff's reviews, go to the NSTA website and search for Blick on Flicks.